Task 2. Listen to a radio program about Katherine Switzer, the first woman ever to run the Boston Marathon. For questions 11 to 18, choose the best answer, A, B, or C, and transfer your answers to the answer sheet provided. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the options. Zero is the example.
It's April 1967, and hundreds of runners are lining up to take part in the world's oldest and most prestigious marathon in Boston. Standing behind the starting line with them is 20-year-old Katherine Switzer, the first woman ever to enter the race. In the 1960s, women were thought to be too fragile to take on anything longer than a mile and a half. But Katherine had always enjoyed running, so while she was a student, she decided to join her university's cross-country team.
When I got to Syracuse University, I went out and talked to the track coach and asked him if I could run. And he looked really quite shocked. And he said, no, it's against the rules here for women to run on the men's team, but we'd welcome you if you wanted to come and train with us, thinking I would never show up. So I did come out and began to run with the men, where I was wonderfully welcomed. And one of the unofficial assistant coaches, a guy who'd been a top marathoner and was now 52 years of age, he really was excited about seeing me out there, saying that he had been training with the men for 30 years. He'd never seen a woman before. And it was him, Arnie Briggs, who sort of took me under his wing and began running with me every day, but telling me wonderful stories about running, and one race in particular, the Boston Marathon.
But even after seeing what she was capable of, she had a hard time convincing her coach that she could take on the ultimate challenge for a runner.
Arnie Briggs didn't believe any woman could run a marathon. He said, I'll tell you what, if you show me in practice that you can do the distance, I'll be the first person to take you to Boston. And so I had a goal, I had a focus, I had a coach. When the day came to run the marathon distance, I didn't believe we had actually run 26 miles. I said, let's run another 5 to make sure. And we ran 31 miles that day. And at the end of that workout, I threw my arms around Arnie and I said, we did it, we're going to Boston. And he passed out.
When her coach had recovered and managed to pick himself up off the ground, he agreed to help her enter the Boston Marathon. But Katherine wasn't sure whether she'd be breaking the rules by entering as a woman, so her coach reassured her.
We got out the rule book. There was nothing written about women being forbidden in the marathon. It was assumed that no woman in her right mind would want to run a marathon, and first of all, they wouldn't be capable anyway. So Arnie said, fill out the form. You're going to be very welcome at Boston.
How did you feel on your way there?
Certainly going into the race, I was nervous and anticipatory, but I was terribly confident about the fact that I could do the distance because I just had a 31-mile run. But like any marathoner, you worry about things, frankly, that you can't control, weather being one of them. But basically, I was confident and I was very proud of myself, but I wasn't there to prove anything. I was there because it was my reward for showing Arnie I could do the distance.
Catherine's entry form included just her initials and her surname, so none of the organisers of the race noticed that she was a woman.
You know, we were all milling around together doing our warm-up exercises, so all the guys saw that I was a woman, but obviously the officials didn't. And the gun went off, and down the street we went. And at that moment, you've got to understand that the start of a marathon is like, you know, you're so relieved. You've done all these months of training. It's like going to Mecca. So I felt wonderful. And it was my coach, Arnie, and me, and my boyfriend, who happened to be only in the race because he was an ex-All-American football player. He'd never run more than a mile in his life. But if a girl could run 26 miles, he could run 26 miles. So he had to come to Boston, too. I gave up arguing. So 2 miles into the race, the official's truck came along. All of a sudden, I heard this scraping noise of shoes running faster than my shoes. And I turned around and I saw the angriest face I had ever seen. And it was the race director who grabbed me by the shoulders and spun me back and screamed, "Get the hell out of my race and give me those numbers." And he started trying to rip off my bib numbers. And I jumped back from him and went, "Oh!" And with that, Arnie jumped in and he said, leave her alone. She's okay. I've trained her. When all of a sudden, my boyfriend, Tom, came running full tilt and hit this race official and sent him flying through the air and out of the race. I realized at that moment that everything had changed because suddenly now it became a contest of proving that women could do it.
What did it feel like crossing that finishing line? Were you angry?
I suddenly came to this conclusion right in the middle of the race that when I finished the race, I was going to try to be a better athlete. And I was also going to try to create opportunities for women so they would experience the same sense of power and strength and freedom that I had from running. And so when I crossed the finish line, it wasn't like, wow, I did it. I did my first marathon. I did my Boston Marathon. It was like, oh, wow, I've got a life plan.
Now listen again.
It's April 1967, and hundreds of runners are lining up to take part in the world's oldest and most prestigious marathon in Boston. Standing behind the starting line with them is 20-year-old Catherine Switzer, the first woman ever to enter the race. In the 1960s, women were thought to be too fragile to take on anything longer than a mile and a half. But Catherine had always enjoyed running, so while she was a student, she decided to join her university's cross-country team.
When I got to Syracuse University, I went out and talked to the track coach and asked him if I could run, and he looked really quite shocked. And he said, no, it's against the rules here for women to run on the men's team, but we'd welcome you if you wanted to come and train with us, thinking I would never show up. So I did come out and began to run with the men, where I was wonderfully welcomed. And one of the unofficial assistant coaches, a guy who'd been a top marathoner and was now 52 years of age, he really was excited about seeing me out there, saying that he had been training with the men for 30 years. He'd never seen a woman before. And it was him, Arnie Briggs, who sort of took me under his wing and began running with me every day, but telling me wonderful stories about running, and one race in particular, the Boston Marathon.
But even after seeing what she was capable of, she had a hard time convincing her coach that she could take on the ultimate challenge for a runner.
Arnie Briggs didn't believe any woman could run a marathon. He said, I'll tell you what, if you show me in practice that you can do the distance, I'll be the first person to take you to Boston. And so I had a goal, I had a focus, I had a coach. When the day came to run the marathon distance, I didn't believe we had actually run 26 miles. I said, let's run another 5 to make sure. And we ran 31 miles that day. And at the end of that workout, I threw my arms around Arnie and I said, we did it. We're going to Boston. And he passed out.
When her coach had recovered and managed to pick himself up off the ground, he agreed to help her enter the Boston Marathon. But Catherine wasn't sure whether she'd be breaking the rules by entering as a woman, so her coach reassured her.
We got out the rule book. There was nothing written about women being forbidden in the marathon. It was assumed that no woman in her right mind would want to run a marathon. And first of all, they wouldn't be capable anyway. So Arnie said, fill out the form. You're going to be very welcome at Boston.
How did you feel on your way there?
certainly going into the race, I was nervous and anticipatory, but I was terribly confident about the fact that I could do the distance because I just had a 31-mile run. But like any marathoner, you worry about things, frankly, that you can't control, weather being one of them. But basically, I was confident and I was very proud of myself, but I wasn't there to prove anything. I was there because it was my reward for showing Arnie I could do the distance.
Catherine's entry form included just her initials and her surname, so none of the organisers of the race noticed that she was a woman.
You know, we were all milling around together doing our warm-up exercises, so all the guys saw that I was a woman, but obviously the officials didn't. And the gun went off, and down the street we went. And at that moment, you've got to understand that the start of a marathon is like, you know, you're so relieved. You've done all these months of training. It's like going to Mecca. So I felt wonderful. And it was my coach, Arnie, and me, and my boyfriend, who happened to be only in the race because he was an ex-All-American football player. He'd never run more than a mile in his life. But if a girl could run 26 miles, he could run 26 miles. So he had to come to Boston, too. I gave up arguing. So 2 miles into the race, the official's truck came along. All of a sudden, I heard this scraping noise of shoes running faster than my shoes. And I turned around and I saw the angriest face I had ever seen. And it was the race director who grabbed me by the shoulders and spun me back and screamed, "Get the hell out of my race and give me those numbers." And he started trying to rip off my bib numbers. And I jumped back from him and went, "Oh!" And with that, Arnie jumped in and he said, leave her alone. She's okay. I've trained her. When all of a sudden, my boyfriend, Tom, came running full tilt and hit this race official and sent him flying through the air and out of the race. I realized at that moment that everything had changed because suddenly now it became a contest of proving that women could do it.
What did it feel like crossing that finishing line? Were you angry?
I suddenly came to this conclusion right in the middle of the race that when I finished the race, I was going to try to be a better athlete. And I was also going to try to create opportunities for women so they would experience the same sense of power and strength and freedom that I had from running. And so when I crossed the finish line, it wasn't like, wow, I did it. I did my first marathon. I did my Boston Marathon. It was like, oh, wow, I've got a life plan.